Let's pray. Our God and our Father, we come before you this morning. We come to worship you, to praise your name, to listen from your word. As we listen from your word, help us, Heavenly Father, to develop the desire and the hunger to serve you more. We know that it is not by works that we are called to you, but after you have saved us, you want us to be fruitful. So help us to be so. In the name of Jesus Christ, who is our Lord and Savior. Amen. Friends, my title for today is Be Outstanding in Your Christian Life or Christian Calling. In other words, what I want to emphasize today is that God has called us to excel in the manner in which we live our lives and conduct our lives as children of God. We are not called to be mediocre or called to be below par or to be average in our daily walk with our Lord. Instead, we are called to be above par. Yesterday, some of women and men from different parts of the world and some from within South Africa were rewarded for their contribution in the building of our nation by the president. If our secular world can reward and honor the people who contributed exceptionally in different expertise of profession in enhancing the kingdom of this world, therefore, how much reward and honor should we expect from our Lord and our eternal King, who is crowned with all glory? The reward and the honor of a Christian vocation is incomparable. You cannot compare it to anything in the world, because our blessedness leads us to permanent and eternal glorification of our souls in eternal bliss and happiness. So, if we've got this knowledge, should that be a greatest motivator for us to live outstanding lives in our Christian calling? In chapters 1 to 3, Paul, first of all, he gives us the assurance that we need not doubt our calling, that we are being blessed by God eternally. Then, as it goes by in chapters 1 to 3, he assures us that the God who called us is the God who will lead us to eternity. But friends, we all know that privileges and rights comes with responsibilities and challenges. Therefore, in chapter 4, verses 1 to chapter 6, verses 9, now Paul, he's mentioning to us different areas of responsibilities. One responsibility that he begins with, which we are going to deal with today, in verses which we have read, we have a responsibility to serve Christ in our local churches or in the church. Secondly, as he goes by and giving all these responsibilities, he gives the second responsibility in our families, that is at home. Then he further goes on and gives our responsibility back at work, where we work. Then now, in these verses that we have read, Paul would like us now to focus first in building the unity of the church. All these verses, what they are dealing with, they are dealing with the oneness of the church, which we need to excel unto that. Before we can excel in our calling in this area, one has first of all has to have a clear understanding of what the Christian calling is, or what is the value of the Christian calling. If we go back to chapter 2 in verses 1 to 10, There, Paul, first of all, before we can know that really that, is it worth to be a believer or not? What we need to do, we need first of all to look back to our previous condition, how we were before we came to Christ. There in those verses, Paul tells us that all of us, we are on the equal footing. That is what means all of us, we were sinners before we came to Christ, which means we didn't deserve to be saved, but God in his mercy, he saved us. This is where our point of departure should be. If you look back to who you were, what you were before you came to Christ, then you will understand now when Paul says to us, therefore, in verse 1, I appeal to you, walk in a manner that is worth of your calling. Then you will start now understand exactly that the first thing which you need to develop is that you were not deserving to be a child of God, but God in his great mercies, he saved you. Then now, what do you need to do now? If we look at Paul in the very first verse of chapter 4, he's always saying that he is a prisoner of God, which means that he's a captive because of the gospel. What does that mean for us? It means that now, when we come to Christ, we need to know that following Christ is a matter of self-denial, is a matter of self-sacrifice. If we remember who Paul is, Paul was a Roman citizen, but because of the gospel, he desired to serve Christ. Then it was for this cause that he neglected his privileges and rights. And for the sake of the gospel, he decided to give and to devote himself entirely to Christ. So which means when we know the worth of our calling, then we will commit ourselves entirely to God and to serve his purpose, thus neglecting our rights and privileges. Bertrand Russell once said of Christianity, who was an atheist, there is nothing to be said against Christianity except that it is too difficult for most of us to practice it sincerely. Our sinful nature always wages against us when we want to live our fully devoted lives to Christ, or we want to live as outstanding believers. We are called, friends, to remain in Christ and be fruitful in him. But that we cannot do on our own. We can only do that by remaining in Christ. In John chapter 15, Jesus Christ said to his disciples, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. But if you want to be fruitful in whatever that you do, remain in me. Which means, friends, if we want to be productive in Christ, in building the unity in the church, we need to be committed to him and remain in him. When we understand the value of the Christian calling, besides being found in him, we'll be encouraged also to aim at strengthening the unity of the church, which means we will develop some Christian behavior or Christ-like character which promotes the unity of the church. That we find it in verses 2 of chapter 4. Here, Paul now, he's trying to tell us that there are things which we need to develop as believers. What is the first thing that we need to develop? According to that verse, Paul says humility is the point of departure into being fashioned like Christ. What is humility? Humility, friends, is an act of denying yourself. In making, when you look at others, you see them as being better than yourself, and you see yourself as being lower than them. This, friends, is not a thing which we have never saw it. Our Lord Jesus Christ didn't consider equality to God as something to grasp on, according to the book of Hebrews. But he denied himself to the point of death. He was even humiliated, even insulted, even scorned. But because he wanted to save us, because he wanted to have fellowship with us, hence he allowed himself to be mocked. Also, friends, one thing that destroys many churches is pride. Pride causes divisions in many churches. Two bad things that arise out of pride. First one is to seek to serve in the church because of pride. Because you see yourself as self-worthy. Because you see yourself as self-adequate. Many churches have been divided by this attitude. But we can take an example from our Lord, who was equal to God, but he decided to be lower, even to the point of being under the angels in terms of status. So, even us, friends, if we can develop that habit, what will it do to the church? It will encourage fellowship. It will encourage unity, because it will attract those who are closer to you when they see how you look at them. But if we do not humble ourselves, then it will chase those who want to fellowship with us. Some friends, they even come to a point where, because they're being opposed in the church, they feel being betrayed because of pride. One person said, pride is one instrument that the devil uses in the church, is one instrument that the devil is using in the families, where someone sees himself better than his partner, when someone sees himself better than the one who's around him. But, dear friends, if we can adopt humility and ask God to give us humility, you know what it does? It attracts other people. And what it says about the person who's humble, that person can master his own vessel. That person can master his own heart. He can deny or reject what his own heart is telling him what to do. Some, they think that humility implies weakness. But it does not mean weakness. The very same person who adopts that attitude, he's stronger than the rest because he can manage his own heart. He can direct his own heart, not only for his own benefit, but for the benefit of the church. Friends, the second attitude that God wants us to develop according to this text, in fact, I will mention two. God wants us to be meek, to be gentle. Gentleness, as the book of Proverbs says, turns a wrath, which means when you are even dealing with people who cannot listen from you, but if you give them a soft response, the response of the heart that is gentle, then it can turn that person, even when he's arrogant towards you. But that person can, being pleased by your attitude, and come closer to you. The other characteristic or quality which goes with meekness, it's patience. What does patience mean? It means that you can bear for other people's defects and faults. More specifically for us, because we know, friends, where we're coming from. We have been sinners. We have been doing the very same things that those other people are doing. So when people, they do some things that offends us, but if we can carry their defects and faults and understand why they do what they are doing, why they do the things that they do to us, And in that note, friends, let's remember, one, that we have not yet reached our final sanctification. We are still in the process. Sisahlanzi sisiswa. We are being sanctified. So sanctification means that we are from the point where you were really bad and bad and bad. But as the word of God is being preached to you, then you get to know people better and better. But first, in order to know people better and better, you need to know yourself first. When you know yourself and look at yourself, it is like looking in a mirror. You will never see somebody next to you. When you look in a mirror, you will see yourself. So, which means that even when you look to other people who do the things which you don't like, first of all, look to yourself and think, how much have you offended God while you are away from Him? How much have you offended others while you are not reading the Bible? Then when you've got that attitude, then you will bear for other people. But friends, as we do all these things, humility, meekness, and patience, one thing which we need to do, we need to do all these things out of love and sincere hearts. Sometimes you will hear people saying, I've did this and that for him. I did that and I will still do that for him. Which that tells that the motive for you doing that, it was for self-esteem or for gaining a good reputation. When we do all these things, friends, we need to make sure that we are being driven by the sincere love that has been shown to us. We are not being driven by self-esteem or self-worthiness. Friends, Christians are like a water or a cement and a sand that created the mortar that holds this building together. Can you see this building? If this building was not built by a mortar that was thoroughly mixed with all the ingredients being mixed properly, it could have collapsed some years ago, and its lifespan, maybe it will be short. Friends, we are also like that as believers. We are the ones who hold together the body of Christ, which is the church. So when we develop these characteristics and these qualities, friends, our unity and fellowship will last longer. Even though, friends, we might not cheat ourselves and think that there won't be disparities, there won't be differences, there will be differences. But in verses 3 to 6, now he turns away, Paul turns away from us. He focuses to the basis now of our unity, to the bond that keeps the church together. Friends, we will do our work as human beings, but the one who has bonded the church together is God himself. He's the one who's the catalyst of the church. He's the one who keeps us going as united. Verses 3 to 4. We have been called to Christ by the Spirit of God. The Spirit was there in Genesis. When God created all things, the Spirit was hovering in the darkness, the Spirit who called us to Christ. Without God's Spirit, man, we cannot know God. But it is only through His Spirit giving us a light and say, this God is a true God. So He's the one, friends, according to verses 3 to 4, who holds us together as believers. Yet, having our diversities, cultures and tradition that are different, but the Spirit of God keeps us together. The Spirit of God bonds us together. Not only the visible church, also the invisible church. Friends, as Jesus Christ said to Peter, after Peter confessed him as the Lord, all those who confess Christ as the Lord will be bonded together till eternity. But the only thing which we need always to ask ourselves. Do I hold a genuine faith unto him? Because only those who have a genuine faith will resist till eternity. Only those who believe in him will resist till eternity. Friends, in verses 5, we serve one Lord. The common denominator to believers is that we haven't came here to serve one another first. First, we came here to serve God who saved us. Then, secondly, we came to serve one Lord. That is one thing which keeps us going. Because why it keeps us going, he's the only one who gives us the true hope. He's the only one who will lead us to eternity. He's the only one who has secured our salvation. He's the one who will keep us even when the times are telling us to quit. But he will keep us because we can imagine what it will be to live the one who gave you life. What will it be to live the one who has freed you? Hence, friends, we will keep on going. Hence, friends, we will keep on praising him. Friends, one thing which motivates me is to know from the Lord's Prayer that God's will is done in heaven, which means in heaven, God has fulfilled his mission. So that it gives me hope that even with us, nevertheless, the flaws that we might see into the visible church. But one thing which we need to be sure of is that if we trust in him, he will carry us to heaven. If we are willing to serve him, it is not for us, but it depends on how much we trust him. He is going to carry us to eternity. Verses 6, friends, we belong to one true God. Whether we fellowship locally or we fellowship internationally, the church does belong to God. We are only partakers with him. Through his Spirit, he has glued us together. Through his Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, he's leading us to eternity. So we do not, friends, need to lose hope when some things that we see in our churches, they come and they make us to be bitter. But we need to fully trust that we belong to one God, to one Father, who cares for us, who provides for our daily needs, who provides for our spiritual needs. We lack nothing from him. Good friends, in the army and the police force, there is one thing which is common. When the new people are joining the army or the police force, they take an oath and swear that they will support and defend the constitution of their country. Meaning, they affirm that their allegiance, their honesty will be only to the upbringing or the protecting or the preserving of the constitution of their country. And that they will do it under the guidance of their state president, under the guidance of their intimate commanders. What does this say to us? It also says to us, when we start believing in Christ, we are Christ's soldiers. Our allegiance is due to him alone. Hence there is this song which says, onward, onward, Christian soldiers. Stand up and stand up for Jesus. We are called, friends, to be outstanding in our Christian walk. Whether circumstances allow us or do not allow us. But the only thing before we can think of doing anything, for Christ. Every one of us has to ask himself this question. How is my personal fellowship with him? Because if our personal fellowship with him is flawed, then also our fellowship together will be flawed. We've got a vocation, friends, to fulfill in our Christian life. We've got a fellowship to maintain in our Christian life. What motivates us? It's one thing, our final goal, that we want to spend eternity with him. It does not depend to how hard are we trying, but it depends only on one thing. Is your fellowship in good order with him? Then if your fellowship is in good order with him, then surely, surely, you will from now and ever be with him in eternity. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for calling us into your fellowship. We thank you for calling us into your service. Help us, Heavenly Father, as we strive daily to build your church, to work as your soldiers. Strengthen us. Make us to depend entirely unto your power. I ask all this in the name of Jesus Christ, who is our Lord and Savior. Amen.